Hi, this is Jeff Perry from St. Louis Family Church, and I am really glad this message has found you. You know, I believe that God gives us each day our daily bread, that He really cares about us, and He has attention to detail, the detail of your life and what really matters and what counts right now. You know, I believe that as you listen to this message, the Holy Spirit will illuminate something, some truth from the Word of God, something that causes you to draw closer to Jesus, and then in that, finding and discovering all the plan and purpose that He has for you. I want to encourage you as you listen to this message to let the Lord minister to you because He has something great for you today. God bless you as you hear His word. I want to talk to you about God's amazing presence. I want to talk to you about His presence. And the point I want to get over to you starts out with 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10. God used to operate in a limited basis upon the priests in the place called the Holy of Holies, a certain environment, and He manifested Himself in some amazing ways, and such was the case in 1 Kings chapter 8, and I want to talk to you about this in practical terms in a moment out of the book of Acts chapter 16, and I think it's going to translate into some very important understanding about when God's presence is on your life, it's going to affect others. How valuable it is to stay in and operate in the presence of the Lord. There's a guy named Brother Lawrence who was a monk, and he worked in the kitchen at a monastery, and he didn't get the opportunity to work in what they call the ecclesiastical duties. He had to clean potatoes and work in the kitchen. But he did something called practicing the presence of God. Actually, we're not going to practice this. We're going to do this. We're going to operate in a new level of His presence. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. Whenever Jesus shows up, radical things take place. And in 1 Kings chapter 8, it starts out with this. In verse 10, it says, "It happened." I like the way that starts. It happened. What's happening? It happened. It happened that when the priest came from the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. So there was an actual tangible manifestation in the Old Testament of the presence of God where the priests that were worshiping and were serving and were doing their duties fell over. They were so overwhelmed by the presence of God. It was so tangible and substantial that they could no longer do what they were doing. They just were just arrested by the presence and power of God. And this reminds me of the upper room where He filled the upper room, but it wasn't just to fill the room. This filled the room. The upper room was filled with a rushing mighty wind, but it was actually an outpouring for the people. And the Bible says that God no longer dwells in temples made with hands. This is one of the hallmarks of what we're in now. God lives in men and women, kids that have responded to Jesus, that His presence comes in and operates through people. That's what I want to talk to you about. In fact, I want you to think about the two verses in the book of Acts where Peter, there was such an outpouring of God that people tried to just get in His shadow and they were healed. And in the case of Paul the Apostle, in fact, let's go there. Let's look at Acts chapter 5 and Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 5 talks about Peter and how God was moving so mightily in his life that just getting in a proximity of this believer brought change to other people. What was isolated in the Old Testament is rampant in the New Testament. What was upon a certain strategic group of people has now been poured out within a certain strategic group of people, the body of Christ. And these gifts are available, and the presence and power of God is available for every one of us. So whether you work at Guitar Center or you're a teacher, wherever you are in your home, wherever you are in your car, wherever you go, I want you to understand the presence and the tone of this thing. And I want to show you how important it is for us to yield to the presence of God, yield to the flow of the Spirit, because God's actually called us to be available 24 hours a day. We sang probably three of our songs tonight were about, "I just give you my whole life, Lord. I want to give you every hour and every minute of my day." You know, that's really our passion. And the enemy knows it, it doesn't like it, but that's tough because we're going to press into this thing and we're going to see signs and wonders follow. We're preparing for larger and more effective kingdom duties. But now look at Peter, Acts chapter 5, verse 15. It says that all the believers in the Lord, verse 14, multitudes of men and women were constantly being added in number. Patsy talked about multiplication tonight. This is certainly what was happening there in the early church. And to such an extent, there was such an amazing awakening that they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on one of them. And the people from all these vicinities in Jerusalem and so forth were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. You guys, that is a manifestation of the Spirit of God in the life of a believer and the outpouring and the results of that. In other words, the presence of God on your life will affect other people. When the presence of God came in that environment with the priests, they fell over under the power of God. Now, that's an example for us. Now, in the New Testament, people weren't falling over so much as they were being lifted up. The resurrection power of Jesus was moving in this situation, and people were being healed. There are more instances of people being raised up as a result of the presence of God than falling over. And this is really what we're after. I want to see our city lifted. I want to see lost souls turn to Christ. And I believe God's turning on the effectiveness as we become aware of His presence. And again, this isn't something we have to project or something we have to manufacture or conjure. We know that God is present, that He operates in and through people. In fact, flawed people. If you remember, Peter was the guy that denied Jesus and even swore by the fire about it. So we see just the grace and mercy of God using this particular individual. Let's go over to this other guy. This guy in Acts chapter 19 was somebody that was a persecutor of the church. Saul of Tarsus was his name. He was a very mean and ornery man. And God got a hold of him and turned his life around. And it says here that God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. See, these were two individuals in their particular time zone that understood something of the presence of God and the fact that the presence of God on their life would definitely affect other people. Here it says God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from his body to the sick and the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out. Such was the nature and is the nature of the presence of God that it's tangible. In the Old Testament, it was a cloud that was manifested where they could actually even physically see this cloud, and it had such an impact on them that their bodies were struck over by the glory and the power of God. In the early church, when people would just get near Peter, they would be healed and radical things would happen and healing would take place. I'm excited about that because this is as much needed today as it was then for people to understand the healing power of God and the availability of God. I know so many people that are living so bound up. And you know what? The answer is in Jesus. The answer is in Jesus. Now, here's a guy that was bound up in prison, actually. Go back a few verses because, see, I think this is why these miracles were happening through Paul. I think something happened in Philippi that was a strategic moment for this guy. And this is where I want to spend the rest of our time in this message about the amazing presence of God. He's an ever-present help. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. In His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And here's what it says here in Acts chapter 16. Paul's been preaching. There's a milestone for Western civilization where a woman named Lydia, the first convert in Europe, in the city of Thyatira, had a real open heart toward God, responded to the things spoken of by Paul, and this was the turning point of Western civilization. And then equally, the city of Philippi was a strategic city where later on, you know about the Philippian church. This is really where some great things birthed that preceded that great awakening that took place and an abundance of people came to Christ. This was before those things happened. In verse 25, Paul and Silas have been thrown into prison. They've been beaten up for preaching the gospel. And at midnight, here's what happened. Paul and Silas were praying. This is we've heard this story a lot, but this is an amazing little sequence of events I want you to look at. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. Now, this is very obscure. This is some little town 2,000 years ago, And these are men that have had their backs lacerated. They've had their bruised and battered. They've been falsely imprisoned. Paul's a Roman citizen, and he's been put in a situation that we later find was really illegal. It was an illegal arrest, and he's been persecuted. And in this obscure moment, he presses into the presence of God. He's worshiping and he's praising God. In Psalm 22:3 in the King James, it says that, "But thou, O Lord, art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel." We know that God was on the priests in 1 Kings chapter 8. We know that the presence of God was on Peter when they were getting in his shadow and people were being healed. We know the presence of God was on Paul to such a degree that it would tangibly even get on his clothing, and the guys that were with Paul would take him, because there's so much of a spillage and an overflow and superabundance of God. And this wasn't weird or mystical or spooky or flaky. This was actually the tangible presence of God on the life of a believer. And Jesus is the same today. I don't think it was some sort of weird spiritual demonstration. I think these guys went, man, there's so much of God going on in this moment. Here, just take this apron and go put it on your sick uncle. And God's presence is tangible. That's amazing, isn't it? God is so kind to us that he takes our five physical senses into consideration. And though we don't rely upon our feelings or our circumstances, it certainly is great to be able to have God occasionally invade those aspects as well. But I want you to think about this, because whether you tangibly sense God's presence or not, he is present. And I've in fact noticed that times I did not sense or feel God's presence, great manifestations of God took place anyway, because it's based on fact, not on feeling. So the good news is, you may be sitting there going, tell me something I didn't already know. And you, first of all, I have to change that attitude, because this is a pretty good message. But secondly, even if you are flatlined like that, I really don't care. Because I mean, I hope you have a little boost, but that's not what we're at. We're not out for religious, emotional joy popping. We're not little popcorn kernels or jack-in-the-boxes waiting to be wound enough so we'll pop out and go. No. We've got something that is resident on the inside of us. Used to be upon the priests. Now it is in us. He is the Holy Spirit of God that is leading us and guiding us into strategic impact. And the point I want to make to you is the presence of God on your life will affect others. These guys were worshiping God. And you have to realize that Psalm 22:3 says that he inhabits the praises of his people. So when you and I enter into praise and worship, whether we feel like it or we're aware of it or not, God inhabits those praises. And when we enter into his courts and his gates, we literally are entering in. And that's a phrase we used to talk a lot about. Hey, let's enter in. Let's press in. Let's enter in. Let's press in to know the Lord, you know. And as we press in, I want to show you that it's beneficial for you, but then also that the presence of God upon your life will affect others. Okay? So let me take it into this point now. Look here. These guys are worshiping God, singing hymns. Here's the scenario. I don't know what their hymns were because we don't have any record. They've dug up. Some archaeologists have found some early church songs, lyrics. We, of course, know the book of Psalms would be the Hebrew. It's the greatest song book. Greater than the Beatles, greater than Motown, come on, yeah. Greater than Beethoven, goes on. Great songs of praise, songs of deliverance. Maybe they were singing one of those psalms. But listen, the prisoners were listening to them. This room was filled with other prisoners, and these guys were apparently chained, because look at what happened. And suddenly, there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. And the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself because, I mean, all of his, you know, people under his watch were about escaping. And Paul cried out with a loud voice and said, "Whoa, whoa, don't harm yourself. Don't do that. For we are all here. Nobody's going anywhere." Now pay careful attention to this. And he called for the lights and rushed in. Trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now look, a little obscure worship moment with some prayer and some hymns precipitated a response from the throne of God where he shook, and I love this, the foundation of the prison. And it says here, oh, this is so good. It says that all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. Not just Paul and Silas's, but everybody's. Nobody else was worshiping. They were listening. They were all going, you know, it was like a musical, and it was their solo part. This world's kind of like that. You're singing the song of deliverance, and you're worshiping God, and others are kind of watching you with fascination. But look at the effect of God's presence on somebody else's life to affect other people. You see this? Okay, I want to take this into the here and now. The foundation of the prison got shaken. The doors flung open, and the chains fell off. Now, will that preach or what? Isn't that amazing? Okay, now let's get this in context. This literally, historically happened in a jail in Philippi 2,000 years ago. Okay? Now, I could carry this over because God opens a door no man can shut. And the anointing breaks the yoke. And that song we sing, "You broke the chains that held my captive soul." And while these guys were engaging and worshiping God, God did something so great in their life that it spilled over and affected so many others. Even when Jesus rose from the dead, you remember all these other saints got out of death and they're walking around in Jerusalem. I love Jesus. He just does so exceedingly abundantly. In fact, I've talked to theologians about that. I don't know what happened there. Who are these people? What, they're walking around in Jerusalem? I've heard all kinds of ideas. The fact of the matter is, it's biblical. It happened. People said, you know, if he had not said Lazarus, everybody would have popped out of the tombs. I believe that's true. Because Jesus only does wondrous things. So here are these guys. They're beat up and they're falsely jailed. And then the earthquakes and the foundation shakes and the doors open. Don't you want to see chains fall off of people? Don't you want to see doors open for others? Well, this is, I believe, the nature of true Christianity. It's modeled in that Old Testament environment with the priests as they worship God. The cloud filled the room. You see it in the early church where they're taking off the aprons and just those work clothes. I mean, that is not a religious sort of gilded thing. It's just life. And in the context of living and raw, engaging experience with God, it's affecting so much so on a person that it's spilling over to others. Oh, church, this is what I feel is so vital, that we press past all the discouragement, all the temptation, all the sometimes the occasions where we just want to quit, or, you know, get in doubt or get in wavering. This, for me, is one of the greatest and most, you know, important incentives. That God, you mean to say that in our little worship service here in Chesterfield Valley, that it might have a contagious, farther reaching impact? That's absolutely what these verses suggest. You mean to say that when I pray, I should be actually expecting it to have repercussive, far-reaching impact? I don't think we're praying big enough. I know that everyone's chains were unfastened. I know that all the doors were opened. I noticed the jailer got saved. I noticed his whole family got saved. You might be, and what it was the context of this? It was not, oh, you've been fasting and praying. Oh, we even have in 2 weeks a revival. Oh, we got the music cranking. We got a new Hammond B3 organ, and we're playing. Man, these guitars are, you know. No, they're in jail, falsely accused in a very bad situation. That means we're all candidates at any moment for some huge breakthrough. Say, God, you know what? I need the foundation of the jail to shake and the doors to bust open in my life. I need the chains to fall off of me. But wait a minute. I'm just going to worship you. And I'm believing, God, that as I worship you, it's going to affect a lot of other people. Listen, you guys in here that have been under attack, who've succumbed to a lot of challenge and trial, you ought to look mean at that situation and say, God, I'm trusting you to use this to unfasten a lot of chains and open a lot of doors and shake a lot of prison foundations and get some people set free. Because listen, Jesus is the great liberator. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's something called liberty. And it's for freedom that Christ set us free. True Christianity is liberating. It lifts women out of the shackles and brings them into vibrancy. It lifts men from one station into another station. It took these prisoners into a place where everything was reversed. They were tending to the jailer. They were, he was asking them, what must I do to be saved? They're now in the driver's seat. From what? From getting into God's presence. When we, as we walk in the presence of God, it bears great result. And we're carriers of the presence of God. I want to be careful at this point in the message. I don't want to exhort you into frustration. It's like telling you to get in a room you're already in. And I like what A.W. Tozer said, basically to the effect that walking in God's presence isn't trying to project something outside that's not really there. It's awareness of what's already there and walking in it. That, you guys, is correct thinking about this. Sure, in the Old Testament, a few select priests occasionally had this presence come on their lives, and it was an amazing thing. There was a time when a guy, they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant that had been carefully crafted, but as they were carrying it, a guy stumbled and somebody reached out to steady the Ark, and he died. His life faded, you know, because of the nature of that covenant. But what was deadly is now actually, God's designed us now where we're carriers of the presence of God. And God inhabits the praises of His people. And signs and wonders follow believers. And listen, the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. In fact, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He said, woe is me if I don't preach. And he said, and one verse said, it's the foolishness of the preaching that God is pleased with. And I've noticed something about the simplicity of the gospel and its power. It's God is present on the good news message of Jesus. And that if we'll just pray it, worship God, share the gospel, God's going to do all of His godness that He does. No matter how sophisticated their arguments, no matter how cerebral people get, no matter how distant people act, the gospel is a life of its own. And the Holy Spirit, wherever He shows up, chains break, doors open, prison foundations shake, and people get liberated. Look at this. Not only did Paul and Silas have a moment of breakthrough, the whole place did. The prison that contained them, the jailer that oppressed them, the other prisoners. I mean, jailhouse environment is not fun. It's not like going to Chuck E. Cheese and having a pepperoni party. You know what I mean? And imagine this moment, because these guys are getting ready to take off, and he goes, oh, whoa, 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 everybody get your chains back on. Because they falsely accused us. This is not why God broke these chains. He wanted to get that jailer saved. He wanted to put an outline together for me to have to share with you on Friday night. Honestly, I've never really seen this before this week. I was looking at this and I went, the chains fell off the people. The doors opened. The chief jailer got saved. His family got saved. We are impacted by this obscure midnight worship service. We are even affected by it. What happened with them now is happening and affecting us right now. We're getting instruction from it. So it's the gift that keeps on giving. I don't think when they're going, hey, Silas, let's worship God. What for? Well, He's just worthy. Well, you're right. Thank you, God. And they're singing in Hebrew or whatever they're, you know, Roman, whatever they're singing in. I want to demystify this thing. People got in Peter's shadow and they got healed. Yep. People got those aprons from Paul and they got healed. Yep. Do you think that God wants to do something like that through my life? Absolutely. And this wasn't during a church service. And this wasn't in an ideal circumstance. This was in one of those weird moments where they could have just as easily said, God, why is this happening to me? You might be in one of those situations right now. But there, you've heard me say it a zillion times, other people attached to our obedience. But when you and I learn to really flow and operate in the presence of God and cooperate with the presence of God and yield to the presence of God in our lives in a non-spooky way, other people are going to be affected by the presence of God in your life. Doesn't that make you want to just abide in and walk in the awareness of God's presence? You young people, listen. This is better than dope. This is better than popularity. It's shameful for me to even have to articulate that. But everything that's elevated in our world and in our culture pales in comparison to the presence of God. One day in the presence of the Lord is better than 1,000 without. One hard day of walking with God is better than 10,000 easy days where you're lost. I want to see doors fling open in your life. I want to believe God. In fact, I pray right now in Jesus' name, God really starts using you in a new level. I pray you lead more people to Jesus. I pray there are more testimonies of supernatural happenings taking place in your life. Because we know the cause is there. The cause is not eluding us. He is present. Remember what the scripture says, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not maybe will be, not occasionally is, but that Jesus comes to reside. Little kids know this. You ask little kids over at Children's Church. They're over there coloring and stuff and laughing. Where's Jesus? He's in my heart. Christ in you is the radicalization of civilization. That is the mystery of the ages. The God dwelling in people. Well, I know he was in Peter. I know he was in Paul. St. Patrick went to Ireland and he, you know, either introduced or reintroduced Christianity to Ireland. I know God was on him. But, you know, I'm just kind of sitting here, man, and I just wondered when you're going to make your conclusion in this message. The conclusion in this message is ongoing. The conclusion of this message is that you have been given God's presence in your life by virtue of the new birth. You now have fellowship with God. When the man joins himself to the Lord, he's one spirit with him. We are now in fellowship with Jesus. And by the power of his Holy Spirit, we are now called to walk with these signs following. Not just Peter, Paul, and St. Patrick, but those who believe. How many believers do I have in here? I believe Jesus is risen from the dead. So then I have to deal with resurrection life. I believe that as he is, so am I in this world, and that I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I believe that I'm a new creation now, and that the old things pass away, that my sin is as far as the east is from the west. I believe that where I was so lost and so dark and so hopelessly separated from God, that now I've been given the gift of righteousness, where I'm actually made right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that I can actually stand before God with confidence, not in my own merits, but in his wonderful gift, and just bask in it and revel in it for the rest of eternity. And I believe in its contagiousness. I believe that what God did with Paul and Silas is not a little anomaly for apostles. I believe it was a physical, literal, historical happening that also has repercussions that we can enjoy. The idea of the prison floor being shaken. I pray that happens to you right now. I pray whatever's imprisoned you starts getting dealt with by the power of God right now. Be it fear, be it sickness, be it lack, be it bizarre circumstances. Because we see in this verse that persecution couldn't hinder the flow of the power of God. In fact, the glory of God was upon them in that persecution. We see that bad circumstances didn't imprison the word because I'm preaching a message out of an obscure worship time in a jail. So even your crummiest day with the presence of God on it has impact, far-reaching. Clyde Perry's mother, in south of Lubbock, in Brownfield, Texas, started praying in the 1950s. And then God used that to cause me to be where I am today. Fascinates me. That she was a spirit-filled Christian, and the first people who shared the gospel with me also were baptized in the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues, believing God for supernatural things, just like what she had experienced when she was healed of cancer in the 1950s. Yeah. So not only did she pray for us to be saved, She prayed in the same manner and imprint of what had happened to her, and it got on my brother and me. Now, my brother's down there in the South. He's over there making a difference and hurting people's lives. He and I got saved. See, I'm not reading anything into it. I'm just telling you just what happened. And some of these things are just dawning on me. God sent not one, but two Spirit-filled Christians to me. And I'm so glad. I'm so grateful for my Pentecostal experience, for the upper room. I'm so grateful for these verses that it happened when the priest came from the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. I love being in the company of people who recognize that God inhabits the praises of his people. I love fellowshipping with people who have had a crummy week and are going through difficult circumstances or flatlined emotionally and understand the principles of faith and just say, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to love Jesus anyway. I'm going to rejoice no matter what the circumstance anyway. See, I love doing life with people like that. Seeing Charlotte here as an example, she's such an encouragement to me. Why? Because she refuses to quit. She is going to take every bit of life she can, and she's going to live it to the fullest. I look at Thomas Shea. He's got his head shaved. You know, he's doing life in a circumstance where, you know, it was designed to take him out and suppress him. But in fact, he's breaking through, standing strong as a young man, as a teenager, facing something that is one of the most devastating experiences, the loss of his brother and a twin at that, and pressing on anyway, saying, you know what? God is good. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to thank him. I saw him do it the day Matthew died. I saw him at the funeral worshiping God. I've watched him for the last couple of years, and it's inspirational to me just as a Christian just to stand there and go, that is the result of the presence of God. The presence of God on these people, young and old, or young and maturing, it's affecting me. It's affecting my walk. It's affecting my outlook. It's forcing me out of doubt and unbelief and self-pity. And it's giving me encouragement by their stand. I read this about Paul and Silas, and I think, well, God, I'm going to worship you then. This is what Patsy said to me. She said, you know, today she said, I'm just going to pray for a couple hours because I know that's where my help comes from. I'm just going to worship God. I went, that's good. I'm going to pray too. You said, well, you already know that. You're preaching that tonight. Yeah, but we got to keep re-knowing it, don't we? Okay, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns of praise to God, and God's presence changes things. Listen, you walk into a store, you're a carrier of the presence of God. You walk down the aisles, frozen food aisles, you have God's presence on your life. I know a lady who was in the ladies' room, and a woman was battling breast cancer, and the lady prayed for her, ministered the gospel to her, she got saved in the ladies' room. There are things God wants to do that are huge through you. I pray you get a hold of it. There are doors God wants to kick open. Those guys at Guitar Center, wonderful people. You could sense God working on some of them. You know, the owner of that company is a committed Christian. He's turned that whole company around. I talked to a guy who mentors him, and he's on fire for Jesus. So there's a precedent set. God's doing something in that whole company to change the culture. That the head of the company is believing God for the chains to fall off and the doors to open. Come on. I'm believing God for St. Louis. I'm believing God for the Midwest. I'm believing God for America. I'm believing God for our generation. And I actually have the audacity of faith to believe that even in our stalest moment, which is what that was in that prison, the presence of God is just as much there and cannot be suppressed. Nothing can stop the power and presence of God except doubt and unbelief, which we're crucifying in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm all done, but this is where the sermon starts to apply. 100 years ago, next month, some people were in Los Angeles in a rented place praying and seeking God for something more than just routine. They had a visitation from God that brought a restoration all over the world of the vibrancy that belongs to the body of Christ. And God is moving so mightily, and it's just going to be another wave coming up. But I don't think it's going to be relegated to really, we're just going to, you know, lock it into exceptional meetings. I think exceptional meetings are really good to furnish us with an example and a pattern so we could bust loose out of the doors and for the next several days have a heightened awareness of what we saw happen and manifested in good services so that we can walk in a higher level with the people. If it doesn't translate to win people to Jesus, then I think we're just playing church games. But if it, on the other hand, when we see here from Peter getting people in his shadow were healed, Paul, his work clothes had the anointing on it, then I believe there are some things God has planned. Daniel 11:32, the people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. How many of you know Jesus? Listen, it's in the knowing. Knowledge is power. When you know you've got God in your life, see, this, I don't pray anymore. Oh God, I just pray. God corrects me when I start praying about anointing. So, oh God, I need a new anointing. You know, just operate in the anointing you have. He wants to give you something new, he will. But we've got to be faithful with what we've got. Remember what the apostle said to the guy at the gate when they were going to pray? We don't have any money on us right now, but what we have, we'll give to you. Such as we have, we give. And then we go, well, they really had something. They had it. What do they have? They had the presence of God. What do we have? The same presence of God. Well, that was Peter and John. Yeah, but Peter was denying Jesus just a little while before. Paul was the oppressor. Look at how God used those guys. These guys are in jail, and God turns the whole jail. It's awesome. Jailer got saved, and it precipitated one of the most radical changes in that was the catalyst for one of the greatest churches in the history of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Acts 17:6, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. Look at somebody next to you and say, hey, world changer. You say, what are those people doing? They're being disruptive. That's what God's called us to do. He's called us to disrupt the status quo. He's called us to be revolutionaries. He's called us to turn the world right side up. How are we going to do it? With great lighting? No. Cool music? No. Awesome buildings? No. With the presence of God. God will get us all the cool lights and buildings and equipment. But the best part of what we have, we have. This adjustment is profoundly critical. God's on your life. Let me tell you, I just did a whole bunch of TV spots yesterday. The guy that ran the camera was somebody that I went to high school with. The gal that covered my scratch on my face with makeup. Yes, I had to get makeup. Real men had to wear makeup. God's touching her life. It's amazing. Everywhere I go, I see God moving. Everywhere I go, I know God wants to do something radical. The doors swung open, the chains fell off of everybody. And God's anointed us to be liberators. God's anointed us to help people. There's some things you'll be called to do you won't even want to do. There's some things you'll be required to do. You think, I don't want to do this, but I'll do it out of obedience. There'll be people groups you'd rather not, you'd prefer not to have to try to help. But God's anointing you. And if you'll just yield to Him and commit to Him, He'll open a way for you. There's nothing that glamorous about going in and doing this ridiculous amount of work with mold, with no help from the government, no help from the insurance companies who figured out a way to dance around paying it off because, you know, that's hurricane damage or that's flood damage or that's wind damage, and they're doing this dance to save their businesses. What does it leave it up to? It leaves it up to the presence of God on regular folks. And that's how God has opted to manifest himself. If you ask those priests in 1 Kings 10, they're just regular guys that God had set apart. That you ask Paul or you ask Peter, they'd bow their head and say, it wasn't due to any worthiness on my part. It wasn't because of my halo or my, you know. It was because of God looking to use whoever would yield to him. And there's more. There's more. God wants to do some great things through the most broken people in this room right now. Yes, you. Some of you feel like, I'm not in my A game. I don't feel ready. Well, just keep, just get ready. Get ready. I believe that as you walk into a room, chains are falling off and doors are opening and the foundation of the prison is breaking for people's lives. I believe when you pray, God hears and answers prayer and he inhabits the praises of his people. God just might be using you a whole lot more than you even realize. Yes, you. So get that sour attitude out of your life. Shake it off, man. Get a transfusion. Get the vinegar out and some honey in. Smile a little bit more. Get an attitude of, hey, you know what? God's in my life. Quit looking at, ooh, they're anointed. I'm not. I've been in church environments or Christian situations where it's sort of like, man, they're anointed and I'm not. You know what? The anointing is on the body of Christ. There are gifts differing and there are people that have different degrees of obedience. But I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. 24/7, 100 proof. You guys, listen, if you want to know what I aspire for Family Church, it's that all of us engage as fully as we're designed to engage, not just when we go on these trips. We go on these trips so we can heighten our awareness of the 24/7, 365 nature of this thing. What I find when I go on these kind of trips is it makes me more sensitive to my checker at the store, the people at the mall, wherever I go in life, to be instant and be ready. Always ready. Be instant in season and out. It's good what God's doing. In the Old Testament, King Solomon said, God has set eternity in our hearts. And what does that mean? That means there's a void on the inside of us. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's where that void comes from, that empty part. Humanity tries to fill it with relationships, with fame, with career moves, with material things, with substance abuse, all kinds of different things, religions. But that's a Jesus-shaped puzzle piece that only he can fill. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to the Father but through him. Jesus authentically came to this earth to destroy the work of the devil, to seek and save that which is lost. He was our great substitute. He said, look, I'll take your sin, everything that's separating you from a holy God, from my Father, and I will give you my right standing with God. I'll give you forgiveness. I'll give you righteousness as a gift. You can't earn it. It's by grace. So you say, what should I do? That's a great trade. I'm glad you asked. I want to lead you in a prayer to receive the free gift of righteousness. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, you know everything about me. Even though I don't know everything about you, I believe in you. And with all my heart, God, I believe Jesus Christ, your Son, is indeed the Lord. And that through faith in him, I could have eternal life. God, please forgive me for all of my sins. I trust you. I know, Jesus, when you said it is finished on the cross, that the price was paid, that if I would receive you and confess you as my Lord and believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead, I would be saved. And that's what I want. So God, right now, I receive your forgiveness. I want to be your child. No more running. No more looking for it in the wrong places. Jesus, come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, I just want to encourage you that when you become a Christian, you become a new creation on the inside. And that's instantaneous. That's a brand new person. You've been born anew by the Spirit. But now there's something called follow through. And I want to encourage you on a couple of high points. There's a book called The Bible. Go to it and read it.
Read the Psalms when you're discouraged. Read Proverbs when you need guidance. Read the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John accounts of Jesus' life so you can experience him and come to understand his ways. Read the what they call the epistles, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, Romans and Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Read the whole New Testament. Read the Bible. It will enrich your life in a phenomenal way. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. There's also this item called prayer. Prayer is communication with God. It's engaging in interaction. It's not just a monologue. It's interacting with God from your heart to his heart. Now that you're saved, you can actually draw near to him and have access with him. And I want to encourage you to experience that constantly. Another place to be to bath to is a good fellowship. Find a good church. There are life-giving churches all over the place. Find one that lifts up Jesus, preaches the Bible, a place where it's healthy, where there's a vision for impacting the world, and go there and stay plugged in. Also, the great engaging thing to do is serve. The greatest in the kingdom is servant of all. Get involved with servanthood, and man, you'll just be refreshed as you volunteer and plug in and give the best you have for his purposes. Speaking of giving, learn to tithe and give offerings and give of your finances to the vision of that church you go to. God wants to bless you, and there's something powerful about being a giver. It breaks the stingy, greedy tendencies that we have, and it also honors God as we give of our finances, of our time, of our prayer, of our time to read the Word. I just want to encourage you, lastly, to also go tell somebody what's happened. That's called evangelism in the Bible. It's just really sharing good news, but just keep it real. And God bless you in your pursuit of Jesus and his perfect will for your life.